Welcome to the daily VFN Radio Highlights, where we're keeping the conversation light at VFNTV.com. Enjoy.
I was abiding with God, and I was reading in Romans 2, guys. Really interesting scripture. This is Paul, who basically, the Apostle Paul, who wrote most of the New Testament, is the author of Romans. And in Romans 2:28, he says, "A man is not a Jew if he is only one outwardly, nor is circumcision merely outward and physical. No, a man is a Jew if he is one inwardly, and circumcision is a circumcision of the heart by the Spirit, not by the written code." And the Message Bible says something a little interesting. He said, it kind of paraphrases and says it a little different way, but it says, "It's the mark of God on your heart that makes you a Jew, not the mark on your skin." And as I was just thinking about that and meditating on that, you know, it's kind of the same thing in terms of being a Christian. I mean, just because someone says that they are a Christian, it doesn't mean that they actually are one. Mm-hmm. You know, it doesn't matter really what we say, right?
Exactly.
And so sometimes you got to ask, you know, are you really a Christian? Many people today associate themselves as being Christian. In fact, we say this is a Christian nation, but Gallup poll just did a poll, if you will, and they found that 77% of Americans, identify themselves as Christian.
Wow. 77.
77, Chris. Out of a population of 319 million, that means 245 million Americans profess to say, "I am a Christian."
Interesting.
Very interesting, because if that was the case, right? If that was the case, then America wouldn't be in the situation that they're in today.
That's right.
I mean, it's just the truth. And I always say, you know, it's better to have these realistic conversations on the front end, you know what I'm saying, where you can work things out, than on the back end where there is nothing to work out. It's nothing like being deceived and thinking something that, you know, you think in your own heart is right when you've actually been, you know, you're dead wrong. And if you've ever experienced it in your life, you're always, you know, when I have experienced it in my life, I'm like, "Why didn't you tell me?" You know what I'm saying? You want to know. You want to know that if you thought something that you were right and you got the wrong perspective, or it's wrong and you didn't know, or you were blinded by it, whatever the case may be, you just didn't know. Don't you want to know beforehand? Because the result of you believing a lie or not knowing the truth is deadly. I mean, it just has so many bad ramifications all over the place. When you think that 77% of Americans identify themselves as Christian, we would have a different America today.
Yeah,
we would have a different America, which really gets you to think about, you know, what is a Christian? You know, what is a Christian? A good related message for you to listen to is "America Under Judgment," and we're going to make that related for you on The Torch, because you really need to see what is happening in America. As you get asked the question, so what makes a Christian? I mean, if 77% of the people, Americans today, say they're a Christian, what is a Christian? Well, let's ask a couple questions. I mean, does wearing a Jesus pin on your shirt, does that make you a Christian? Or let's say wearing a t-shirt that says "Jesus is Lord," a t-shirt, does that make you Christian? How about a sticker on your car? A sticker on your car, maybe a cross around your neck. Anywhere a cross, a religious symbol, means I'm a Christian. Maybe a Bible in your home, or even a Bible in your hand. If you carry a Bible, does that make you a Christian? Does that make you a Christian? How about maybe having parents who were Christians? Parents who even taught you about Jesus. I mean, they taught you. You learned of him, and you know the Bible stories. And you grew up in a home that parents, they were Christians. Does that make you a Christian? I mean, what makes a Christian? I'm just asking questions, you know.
Good.
Maybe you visit a fellowship. on a Sunday, does that make you a Christian because you visit a fellowship? Does that make you a Christian? How about you sing songs about and to God? Does that make you a Christian? Maybe you have biblical knowledge. I mean, you know scriptures and you know very familiar with the Old Testament and the New Testament, and you know about Adam and Eve and the 12 tribes of Israel, and you know about kings and David and King Saul, and you know about Gideon, and you know about Noah. I mean, you read the stories. You have biblical knowledge. You know the four gospels. I mean, does that make you a Christian? Maybe you've been baptized for all to see. There's that one act. That one act. Just one time, you know. That make you a Christian. Maybe you're singing on a choir. You're helping out. You're serving. Is doing something for God. Does that make you a Christian? Because you're working for God? I'm just asking a question. Because 77% of Americans say that they identify themselves as being a Christian. So we're asking some questions here. Does preaching from the pulpit make you a Christian? Does that make you a Christian?
Right.
How about telling everyone that you are a Christian? Does that, because you say I am a Christian, does that make me a Christian because I profess that, because I say that? That's really important. How about praying? You prayed a prayer once to accept Jesus. Does that make you a Christian?
Right.
Does that make you a Christian? How about you've even seen miracles, signs, and wonders? Does that make you a Christian? You got to ask yourself. I mean, you hear a lot of people say that I'm a Christian, but does that make you a Christian? We're asking some questions. We're investigating. We're going somewhere with this. This casting a demon out, does that make you a Christian? Does that make you a Christian? Seeing things like that happen, and you're looking at today's society and what's happening.
Right.
And you see that people are Christian crosses.
Mm-hmm.
They give credit. I mean, the standing on a stage when you receive an award, and because you say, I just want to thank God right now. I just want to thank God for this award. I want to, he said Jesus once. He said Jesus. Right. He said it. He said it.
Right.
Does that make you a Christian? And the Bible is very, very clear. The Bible doesn't miss words. In Matthew 7, and before we get there, listen, I want to make sure we covered all the bases, you know. I think we got a good list here,
yeah,
to start.
I
think we got a good grasp, a good list. But Matthew 7 says this: not everyone. That's an important verse of scripture here. Matthew 7, verse 21. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. In verse 22, he says, many will say to me on that day, many, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, and in your name drive out demons and perform many miracles? And then I will tell them plainly. I paraphrase that for you. Then I would tell them English, whatever your languages across the world.
Mm-hmm.
I will tell them plainly, I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers. I mean, think about that statement that Jesus is saying plainly. Many, many, many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not? I mean, these folks saw demons flee. They performed miracles.
Mm-hmm.
And he tells them, play for me. Depart from me, I never knew you. So the question is, what does it mean to be a Christian? What is a Christian? You know, Christ is not Jesus' last name. It means in the Greek is Christos. It means anointed one.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus, the anointed one. And if we're going to be like Christians, we need to, if, you know, be Christ-like. When more about what it is. I mean, we have to do an evaluation. It's wise to examine ourselves and to answer the question, are you really a Christian? What is a Christian? And how do we know? Let me tell you something. With 77% of Americans saying that they are a Christian, we would see the fruit of that dramatically different than what we see today.
Mm.
And why not know the truth now? Either way, do an evaluation, examine, because you don't want to find out later that you thought you were something that you were not.
Right.
Listen, it's important what we believe. It's important what we say we are. And it's important what we know about Jesus Christ and our relationship to him. Welcome to VFN Radio. I'm John Ramos, and joining me back in the extra hour is Pat Hamilton.
Hello.
Hello, hello. And Chris.
Hello.
Hello, Chris. Get him some water, Pat. Help him out.
Hose him down.
Hose him down.
Thank you.
Oh my goodness, if you missed the first hour, it flew by. And we're so excited to be back with you in the extra hour. We have so much to share with you. Before we went to the extra hour, we were talking about, are you a Christian? 77% of Americans right now, according to Gallup poll, identify themselves as Christian. Out of 319 million people that live in this country called the United States, that would mean 245 million Americans. 245 million Americans would consider themselves, according to the Gallup poll, as a Christian believer.
Right. That's huge.
That's huge. That's huge. Listen, if 245 people were Christians, this nation would be a completely, totally different nation.
If 200 and how many?
245 million.
Mm-hmm.
245 million.
Wow.
Would have laws that would reflect differently.
Mm-hmm.
We would do things differently in this country. And so it begs the question, like, well, then what is a Christian? I mean, what makes you a Christian? And we went over a list of things. And we just asked the question, you know, does that make you a Christian? And Jesus said in Matthew 7, listen, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. And that in fact, many, many people will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy and in your name drive out demons and perform miracles? And then I will tell them plainly, I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers. And so it's okay in light of those. I mean, I'm sure that those people, when they hear that, they would wish that they would have done an examination, that they would have done an evaluation of their present condition. You know what I'm saying? Because they're saying one thing, and the reality is totally, completely different. And 2 Corinthians 13:5 says this, examine yourselves to see whether you are in the faith. Test yourselves. Do you not realize that Christ Jesus is in you? Unless, of course, you fail the test. I mean, there's a test.
Mm-hmm.
And a wise person would say, well, let me examine, let me see, let me do an evaluation. So we're encouraged to do that. When you examine, what do you do? It means to inspect, it means to scrutinize, carefully investigate with the intended purpose to do an evaluation. When you go to the doctor's office, what do? They give you an exam.
Mm-hmm.
They ask you some questions, you're feeling this, you're feeling that, and the end of the examination is to find out, the doctor's going to make an evaluation as to what are your health conditions. Are you healthy, not healthy. And if you're sick, it's going to try to diagnose exactly what is this sickness. Mm-hmm. And so we get a chance to do a self-evaluation. You know, self-evaluation is pretty good because other people can give you an evaluation, but you can give yourself a self-evaluation mm-hmm. between you and God. Those are really good. And one of the questions you can ask yourself, and one question is just right off the top, have you accepted Jesus Christ into your heart as your personal Lord and Savior? I mean, have you done that? Is there a definitive moment in your life, whether in public, whether in private, whether in one-on-one, but is there a moment in your life that you can pinpoint where you can say that I have confessed with my mouth? Not that I thought it was a good idea, that I think about God, or that I'm open to religious things. But there was there a definitive moment where you said yes to Jesus? Mm-hmm. And by saying yes to Jesus, at the same time, that means no to the devil, right?
Right, exactly.
I mean, think about Christian, you're sharing your testimony. I mean, mm-hmm. I remember when distinctly you said, what, you were in your home, right?
I was in my home. Well, right. Well, it started the night before, you know, when the Lord had spoke to me. But yeah, it was the next day. I was alone by myself, just me and God. And I said, yes, Lord.
Yes, you Lord. Know? And it's so amazing, because what I remember, a part of your testimony was that there was a beginning process of you searching.
Right.
You were searching, you were open, mm-hmm. but searching and open and being close is still not in.
That's
right.
Right? Exactly. Exactly.
And there's a lot of people that are searching and that are open to the things of God, but they're not in. I mean, in is in and out is out. No matter how close you are, if you're not right. in, you are
not in.
Out.
You're out. You're out. And so you made a choice that day in your home to say, I want to be in. More importantly, I want God in me. Right. I want to accept him in my life. So one quick question is, you know, have you done that? Romans 10:9 says that if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart, right, that God was raised from the dead, you will be saved. Have you confessed with your mouth and believed in your heart? So what does accepting, you know, Jesus into your heart and make him Lord actually mean? Mm-hmm. It means that we make Jesus Lord. It's so important. It's so important you have a clear understanding that what that means when you accept Jesus Christ into your heart, you're not accepting a buddy. You're not accepting a co-pilot. You're not accepting the man upstairs. You're accepting Jesus Christ as your Lord, your personal Lord and Savior. You cannot disconnect Savior mm-hmm. and Lord. They are combined together. They are combined together.
Right.
And there's been a no lordship gospel that's been preached that tries to disconnect those two. Just mm-hmm. make them Savior.
Right.
Make them lucky rabbit's foot. But there's no lordship required. There's no boss required. And what the making Jesus Lord means, because he is Lord, but making the Lord of your life, mm-hmm. means that he is the boss. He is in charge. And it means that you wrap yourself around him. God and Jesus, they don't wrap themselves, you know, he doesn't wrap himself around you.
Right.
You know what I mean? He's the boss. An example of this is when you go to work, you know, who calls the shots? You or the boss? The right way is that the boss calls the shots, right? Mm-hmm. Right. And who's the one that has to conform to who? I mean, do you conform to the boss and their vision? Or does the boss have to conform to you? I mean, this may seem elementary, but let me tell you something. There's people at work that are thinking that, you know, bosses and employers have to make all these concessions and they're doing them a favor by showing up. But you got to ask the question. Now, if you want to work there, you understand that what they say is what goes. You know, that's why it's important that you clearly understand that is this, you know, what the company values are and who you're working for, and this is a place that you can agree with, and that you don't feel that your own personal values are going to be compromised, but they're in step with what you believe. Because when you show up there, you're going to be expected to walk with them in agreement. You're going to be expected to follow their ways and their instruction. But how crazy would it be for people to try to claim benefits from a job that they're not a part of? Can you imagine someone trying to claim benefits from a job that they're not a part of? You don't work here. You don't belong. You don't want to be here. You don't support the vision here. You don't work. This is not your job. But yet they'll try, you know, if that person tries to claim any kind of a benefit, medical, 401k, or disability insurance, or a profit sharing plan, you're like, dude, the first thing is you got to be an employee here. Do you have a right. car? Do you have identification? Where's your benefits card? You don't have one. Mm-hmm. Well, how are you claiming benefits for XYZ job? You got to be an employee of the job, sir. Hello. Right? Well, how many today are claiming biblical benefits from a God who they refuse to make Lord?
And that's something.
I mean, just things that make you go, Quick to tell you all the promises in God's word, all the blessings that are found in the book of Psalms, and the power of prayer. The Bible of prayer. See, the Bible is not a motivational book. It's an operation manual. It helps you to operate in the kingdom of God. Right. But first, you got to be in the kingdom. You got to be in the kingdom. And today you're just hearing a wishy gospel that says just apply these principles, apply these promises, apply these benefits. But if you're not in, you're not in. These benefits don't apply. Mm-hmm. You just can't pull the scripture out of the sky and just claim it, right?
Mm-hmm.
The question we're asking here is, you know, are you really a Christian? How do you know? You know, for instance, let's just take prayer, for instance. A lot of people like to pray.
Mm-hmm.
S.D. Gordon says that prayer, right? Prayer is God and man joining hands to secure some high end. I'm going to repeat that again. Prayer is God and man joining hands to secure some high end. Now, if we just, you know, that's one perspective of prayer. I mean, there's many, but let's just take that for instance. I mean, how can we think that we could join our hands with God if we have not even joined our hearts with God?
Right.
I mean, there are many people today that are calling for prayer and they're praying to Jesus and they're asking God to invoke blessing in their life and they're asking God to maybe bless their business or their family or even their country. And it's like, man, do you walk with Jesus? Is what has gone to you? I mean, that's an important question to ask yourself and to ask of others. You know, is who is Jesus to you? I mean, who is Jesus to you? I mean, recently, a Congresswoman, Nancy Pelosi, said that, you know, she made some comment in terms about abortion that being her quote was, I'm paraphrasing here, but being a Catholic and a mother, that she considered an abortion a sacred thing. When, in fact, you know, Frank Pavone of Priest for Life, he wrote an open letter and said, listen, this is not sacred, it's sacrilegious.
Mm-hmm.
Just because we say something is like we have to walk things out. We have to know what it is that we say we belong to.
Right.
It's just not a blanket sticker that we can put on our chest and say, I'm a Christian or I'm a this or I'm a that. What does that mean? And this is what Isaiah says. Isaiah 1:15, when you spread out your hands in prayer, I will hide my face from you. Even if you offer many prayers, I will not listen. I will not listen. You know, do you have blood-soaked, soil, dirty hands and are trying to connect those hands with God in prayer and think that God is listening? This is an important question to ask. Isaiah 59 says, surely the arm of the Lord, Surely the arm of the Lord is not too short to save. Mm-hmm. Not that, you know, his arm not too short to save.
Right.
Nor his ear too dull to hear. Right? God can hear anything. But your iniquities have separated you from God, and your sins have separated you from God. Your sins have hidden his face from you so that he will not hear. Think about that. We're talking about prayer, and we're talking about connecting, but if we don't know God, God's saying is that your sins have separated you from me, and I can't even hear your prayers.
Mm-hmm.
We can't claim benefits of a God of whom we don't serve.
That's right.
That we haven't accepted as our Lord and our Savior. And what does it mean? Because it means that we have accepted Jesus Christ. It means that we've made him the Lord of our life. And today, many people that are searching or looking, you have to know. You have to know today. You have to know, am I in or am I out? Am I still searching? Because when you do an appropriate evaluation and an examination, then you can start from what's real and what's reality. You know, the question you ask today is, you know, if I was to die today at this moment, would I be in heaven or not in heaven?
Mm-hmm.
And why? And if your statement is that because I'm a good person or that I tried, that's not an entry ticket, if you will, quote unquote, to get into heaven.
Right.
That's not the right answer.
Uh-uh.
Right. The only answer is that you've been saved by the blood of the Lamb. You've given your heart to the Lord, and that you're walking this. You've accepted Him as your Lord and Savior.
Uh-huh.
And so, John the Baptist came preaching before Jesus, preparing the way. And what did he preach? He preached repentance. He preached the kingdom of God is at hand. See, when we accept God into our heart, what we're saying is, literally, we're saying is that we are leaving every single thing that has nothing to do with Jesus in terms of sin and in terms of evil. We're saying that that part of my life no longer exists. I mean, so we heard earlier in Darryl Strawberry says, listen, I don't want to even associate with my even former life, because as the scriptures say in 2 Corinthians, that if any man be in Christ, old things pass away, and behold, all things become new. He's a new creation. You're a new creation in God. It means you are leaving from the old. You're repenting. You're turning away from what was to living a new life where Jesus Christ is your Lord, your boss, and your Savior. You're literally dethroning yourself. And you're enthroning him at the center of your heart and of your life, and every decision, everything revolves around Jesus. Everything, right. Everything. And he becomes your best friend. He becomes the lover of your soul. He becomes your redeemer. You become indebted. You become grateful. But there's a process that happens where it's called repentance.
Hmm.
You get convicted of what is called sin. I mean, you don't hear about sin. You know what sin is? Very simple definition. It's anything Jesus wouldn't do.
Right.
Anything Jesus wouldn't do. And when you repent, you're getting the sin out of your life. You're turning away from from wicked ways. And you're living for the glory of God.
Mm.
John says, produce fruit in keeping with your repentance. So there should be some fruit in our life that shows that I was like that and I'm stopped doing that and now I'm living a different way. Now the question is, you know, because you're a Christian, are you going to be sinless and be perfect? No, the difference is that you were once a habitual sinner that had no problem at all with sinning. In fact, you didn't even know it was sin. To you, it was actually normal. See, that's one difference there. And then when you came to Christ, you said, I want to break this pattern of habitual sin. This is not right before God. I want to live a life that glorifies God. I want to accept him into my heart, receive forgiveness of my sins, make him the Lord and master of my life. And now on this side of the cross, I may sin. I'll stumble. I'll make mistakes. But I can ask God for forgiveness. I can repent. And it's not a lifestyle of sin. Huge, huge difference. So we've got to produce fruit in keeping with repentance. And what did Jesus preach? Jesus preached from Matthew 4:17 says, from this time on, Jesus began to preach, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is here. Listen, we need to have an honest conversation. An honest conversation. Tomorrow is written in a fool's calendar. All you and I have is today. The Bible says that life is but a vapor. You're here today and you're gone tomorrow. And being a Christian doesn't mean that we are part of a fellowship or we got baptized or we listen to teachings from our favorite maybe preacher on TV or radio, or we have a cross around our neck, or we say that we believe in God. Well, the Bible says that even the devil believes in God, and at least he shudders and he's knocking at his knees.
That's right.
But you may say that you believe in God and it makes no difference in your life at all. Listen, we have to do a check up from the neck up, if you will. We have to evaluate and examine ourselves to see if we're still in the faith. And if we were on trial for being a Christian, would there be enough evidence to convict us of what we're actually proclaiming that we are? And that's why Jesus himself said, you will know them by their fruit. Because someone will say, well, who's anyone to say that I'm not a Christian? Listen, just you do your own self-evaluation. Is there fruit?
That's right.
Is there fruit in your life that says that God is working in my life, that I've given him my whole heart? Listen, we're sharing this with you because we love you. We care about you. We want you to do the self-examination so that you know no matter what, no matter where you are in your life, you can say, I remember the day. I remember, and I'm still walking with God. That wasn't a period of long ago that you said a prayer and now you're no longer walking with him. You know, just because you prayed a prayer once, that doesn't mean you're in.
That's right.
You need to walk with, you need to have a relationship with God. He's not a formula. It's not about religion. It's all about a relationship. But you got to have that moment, that distinct period of time, Chris, when you said, man, I need God. God, I want you into my heart and my life. I want that in my life. It's so powerful. I remember when it happened in my life. I remember the exact place where I was at. Mm-hmm. I remember it.
Yeah.
And you're never the same. See, Jesus wants to be more than your co-pilot. He wants to be more than your lucky rabbit's foot. He wants to be more than a buddy or the man upstairs. He wants to be your very best friend. Your very best friend. Don't settle for religion. Don't settle for a form of godliness. You may have been showing up to a fellowship for 6 months, a year, I don't know. You may have listened and read books. But the question you ask yourself, have I fully given my heart to Jesus Christ? Right. I mean, clearly, in Matthew 7, clearly, they thought that they were right with God. Mm-hmm. I mean, they said, many, many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord. Did we not, like, hello, God, didn't we not do this, like, church stuff? Didn't we, show up on Sunday and sing and read books? And I clicked everything on Facebook, and they said, if you love Jesus in your heart, yeah, I click it, and I clicked it, and I let the world know. And what's the deal? The deal is you have to have a relationship. And you know if you have a relationship. Mm-hmm. You know you have a relationship. Like someone say that, they're married, but they just live with each other. Mm-hmm. You know if you're married or not. You know what I'm saying? I mean, sure, yeah, you have a document. You said something before somebody, but But are you?
Mm-hmm.
Are you living married or are you? You don't want to have a form. You don't want to have an appearance that you're following God and you're not. You got to know deep down in the very core of your spirit and in your heart and in your very being that I know God. And you know what? He knows me. He's not going to say, depart from me, I never knew you. But he's going to say, yes, son and daughter, I do know you. And you know me. The greatest gift you could ever have in your entire life, when you think of all the birthdays, and you think of all the Christmases, when you think about the Father's Day and the Mother's Day and every other holiday there's out there where people celebrate and give gifts and surprises and different moments in your life, from graduation to wedding to birth of children, the greatest gift that you could have in your life is not your children, is not your spouse, is not a career, is not the greatest gift that you could ever have in your life is the gift of your salvation. It's the precious gift that Jesus gives you that you don't have to pay for. It's absolutely free.
Mm.
But you have to accept it. I mean, I can have a ton of stuff to give you. But if you don't stick out your hand, Chris, and say, I receive it. Right. You know, put it in my hand. I don't want it.
Mm-hmm.
Right? I want
That's
it.
Right.
Give it to me.
Mm-hmm.
You know? You don't put it in your hand and receive it and bring it to it's not yours. Make that decision today. Maybe you've been listening and you've been doing an evaluation. You've been checking. You've been saying, well, you know, don't settle for staying in that searching mode. Maybe you're searching today. You're searching and you're looking. Look, settle today. Do what Chris did. Chris searched. He was open to the things of God. God moved on his heart. But then Chris, all alone said, Jesus, I want you in my heart. I want you in my life.
Right. I can see the definitive moment there. You know, like I was saying earlier, it was the night before that I remember I heard God's voice.
Mm-hmm.
But it wasn't until I accepted what he was speaking into my heart.
Yeah.
It mm-hmm. wasn't until I accepted that gift that I felt him reaching out and giving to me at that moment. It wasn't until I said, yes, I'll take it. I receive mm-hmm. it.
Yeah.
That's just so powerful.
It is powerful. So many times people are looking for Jesus to walk in the room, mm-hmm. Jesus mm-hmm. to part the heavens. Jesus, and listen, God reaches out to us in so many different ways. He's doing it right now to you.
Mm-hmm.
But he'll do it maybe through a friend, maybe through a message, maybe through something you read, you know, in the Bible for sure. But God is constantly, evaluate your life. Look at those moments where people have maybe spoke to you about God. How many of those moments are there? How many, think about those genuine moments where people really have taken the time to talk to you about where you would spend eternity. Think about the times that you've been riding in your vehicle all alone and you just felt like, oh my goodness, God is speaking to me right now.
Mm-hmm.
He's talking to me about my life. Think about the sermons you've listened and the things that have happened in current events that cause you to ask, oh my goodness, if this world ended, if the Mayan calendar was true, where would I spend eternity? Where would I go? Listen, eternity is written in the hearts of men. But what you do while you're still alive will determine where you will spend eternity. Close is not in. And no matter how close you're in, you're close, you're still out.
Hmm.
Make the choice today. Make the choice today to make Jesus your personal Lord and Savior. Have that definitive moment in your life where you say, I am done with this sin. I am done with this life apart from God. I am done as setting myself as the king, as the ruler of my life. It's been all about me. And I humbly submit myself to Jesus Christ, and I enthrone him over the center of my heart, and I want to live the rest of my life for him. Listen, you can do it today. He will change your life forever. And you will have a definitive moment in your life as you continue to walk with God where you can say for sure, this is what my life was like before. This was the definitive moment that I made Jesus Christ my personal Lord and Savior. And on the other side of this, this is what my life has been ever since. Listen, time is getting short. Time is getting short. Don't waste another minute. Accept Jesus into your heart and make him the Lord of your life. I know that we've had moments where that's happened. Do you remember your definitive moment, Pat, where you gave your life to the Lord and
Oh, definitely.
How that felt?
Yeah, it just rocked my world. And me personally, it was a different type of circumstance. I wasn't really looking for any, you know, I wasn't looking for a big change in my life. I thought I had it all together.
Right.
I thought I was straight.
You know what I'm saying? That's what you call deceived.
You know what I'm saying? But there's just that time when God says, okay, now it's time. Enough of that foolishness, whatever it was you think you were doing.
Right.
You know, it's time. I want you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I just the light bulb came on, man. I mean, it was just like, I just realized I needed a savior.
Yeah.
So I could not rely on myself anymore. Because that's how I lived my life. It was just me, myself, and I.
Right.
I'm going to get myself through with whatever, you know, I'm going through.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm the one.
Right.
That's going to make it happen. I can't depend on anybody else.
Mm-hmm.
You know, everybody I've tried to depend on failed me.
Right.
I'm going to do this.
Right.
But then God made himself real to me. You know, it was like, oh, wow. Yeah. You're awesome. And you can do anything. And I can't do squat without you.
Right.
Isn't that amazing? And is it that God just revealed himself? This is the questions you think about. Or was God always revealing himself? And maybe we were closed off to that.
Yeah.
You know, because God's always heart is to redeem you and to save you. God wants from the minute. Listen, he knit you in your mother's womb. He knew you from before you knew yourself. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
God always wanted you. But sometimes conditions in our life have to get to a certain place where we realize that it ain't about me. I'm not the person. And it's just there's something about tenderizing moments. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
This sounds like a title somewhere. Something like tenderizing moments that soften the heart. The conditions are such that we go, how did I get here? What happened? You know, what happened? Sobering moments. And thank God for them, because they open up your opportunity to know God. Right? And then if you accepted the Lord in your life, it allows you to know God even more. I mean, Apostle Paul said to know Jesus in the fellowship of his sufferings. And maybe, you know, you're listening and you say, you know what? I've given my life to the Lord, but you know what? I've gotten lukewarm. You know, I don't have that zeal and that fire and that passion for God anymore. And yeah, I remember that definitive moment, but that was like, oh my goodness, like years ago. And I don't know where that passion has gone. And I remember the days that I was so on fire for God, and I was a bold witness, and I couldn't stop talking about Jesus. But somehow I've settled. Somehow I've got comfortable. Somehow I've figured that I've got God figured out, and I'm okay with knowing a little bit about the Bible, and I can pray, but I don't have that passion for him anymore. Let me tell you something. You can get that passion back.
Mm-hmm.
You can have that fire back. You got to evaluate. Do a self-examination and see where did you turn? What did you allow in your life? Is there sin in your life? And listen, once God shows you, you can ask the Lord to reveal it to you, and he'll show you. You can repent, ask for forgiveness, and watch what God will do in your life. He'll restore that relationship. He'll bring you back to him again. But it starts with you acknowledging and confessing and being open to do the self-examination and the evaluation and asking God, search me, search my heart, know my thoughts, see if there's any offensive way in me and lead me into the way everlasting. Search me. Because let me tell you, we're living in some serious days.
Mm-hmm.
Serious days. And you want to know like you know like you know. I like to say like the sky is blue and the grass is green. You want to know like you know that you know him and he knows you.
You've just been listening to the highlights from the Daily VFN Radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. Don't forget to share it with your friends. Find out more and listen to the Daily VFN Radio program in its entirety at VFNTV.com or with your mobile VFN TV app on your mobile phone or device. That's VFNTV.com.